from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From listener, here is the news read by Steve. First, the headlines. Bosnian embassy holds film screening at RRI, competing world peace. Government prepares 71 trillion rupees for national nutrition program. And now, the news in detail. The Embassy of Bosnia and Herzegovina in Jakarta held a screening of the film No Man's Land at Abdul Rahman Saleh Auditorium, Radio Republik Indonesia on Wednesday evening, October 30th. The film was created by renowned director Denis Stanovic and was chosen as a part of the diplomatic campaign 12 Days of Peace, initiated by the Bosnian Ministry of Foreign Affairs and UN agencies in Sarajevo. The ambassador of Bosnia and Herzegovina to Indonesia, Armin Limo, told Voice of Indonesia that the film screening is a means to spread the message of peace around the world.
One of the reasons, one of the occasions to show this movie was the part of our public diplomacy campaign, 12 Days of Peace, organized by Foreign Ministry of Bosnia and UN office in Sarajevo. So we send a message of peace, compassion and friendship all over the world through this movie and through this campaign. So definitely that is the message, not to make any other war in any other part of the world.
The event was attended by more than 60 invitees, including 22 ambassadors, representatives of international institutions, and Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Quoting the UN.org website, the 12 Days of Peace campaign took place from September 21st, commemorating the International Day of Peace, until October 2nd, which coincides with the International Day of Nonviolence. The multi-award-winning international film No Man's Land is recognized as an important work in criticizing war and promoting the importance of peaceful dialogue amidst conflict. The screening of the film is a significant step in strengthening the message of global peace amid the challenges of today's world. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Food Zulkifli Hasan has stated that the government has prepared a budget of 71 trillion rupiah for the free nutritious meal program. According to Minister Zulkifli, the budget is in accordance with the initial plan set. However, he hasn't discussed in detail the priority areas receiving the program. He only mentioned that the budget is divided into several important programs, such as National Nutrition Fulfillment Program, receiving around 63.35 trillion rupees. Meanwhile, the management support of this program is allocated at 7.43 trillion rupees. This was pointed out by Minister Zulkifli after holding a coordination meeting on the 2025 Food Shelf Sufficiency Budget discussion at the Food Coordinating Ministry Office Jakarta on Wednesday. Indonesian Minister of Micro, Small and Medium Enterprises, Maman Abdurrahman, pointed out that Indonesia has great opportunity to become the world's modest fashion center based on the existing data over the past few years. This was stated by the minister when opening the Indonesia International Modest Fashion Festival, or INTUMF, in Jakarta on Wednesday. He further said that in 2023, Indonesia ranked third out of 81 countries in the Global Islamic Economic Indicator ranking, showing the strength of the country's Sharia ecosystem at the global level. In addition, Indonesia reached the third position in the modest fashion sector. Indonesian modus fashion exports to member countries of the OIC reached $514 million in 2022. And the Ministry of Micro, Small, Medium Enterprises also initiated the Young Designer Modus Fashion Competition, which is the first modus fashion design competition in Indonesia to reach the world. The National Border Management Agency, BNPB, at the Indonesian National Police Headquarters held a coordination meeting to build a network of cooperation in supporting the management and security of the country's border areas. This was stated by the head of the BNPB Planning and Cooperation Bureau through the Associate Expert Planner Wilianto Siagian in his statement in Jakarta Wednesday. He explained that the agency and the National Police agreed to strengthen the synergy of the duties and functions of the two organizations, especially in maintaining security in the national border areas with neighboring countries. The Indonesian Ulama Council, or MUI, stated that the policy of prioritizing Indonesian products promoted by President Prabowo Subianto is in line with the recommendation of the Ijtima, or Agreement of the Ulamas. Deputy Secretary General of MUI for Dakwah and Ukhuwah Arif Fakhruddin, in an official statement as quoted by Antara in Jakarta Thursday, wished that the policy that prioritizes Indonesian products, as exemplified by President Prabowo, will be followed by all officials at all levels of the bureaucracy, from the central to the regional levels. Arif further conveyed that President Prabowo's move to encourage all cabinet ministers and high-ranking state officials to use mount cars made by PT Pindad as official vehicles is right because it is in favor of Indonesian products. This is in line with the result of the Ulama Ijtima agreement in Bangka Belitung held some time ago, when the organization called on all Muslims in the country to prioritize the consumption of domestic product in a bid to strengthen the sovereignty of the nation and state in the economic sector. North Korea stated it conducted an intercontinental ballistic missile test on Thursday morning, a launch believed to have achieved the longest flight time yet for a North Korean missile. As reported by CNN.com, the test comes just days ahead of the United States presidential election on Tuesday and follows warnings from South Korea's intelligence agency that Pyongyang was planning to launch an ICBM testing its re-entry technology around the time of the election. The test also comes as North Korea appears to have intensified its nuclear production efforts and strengthened ties with Russia, deepening widespread concern in the West over the isolated nation's directions. Bahrain's King Hamad received Saudi Arabia's Minister of Interior, Prince Abdul Aziz bin Saud bin Naif bin Abdul Aziz, at the Zakir Palace on Wednesday. As quoted by ArabNews.com, the discussion on the close relations and security cooperation between the two countries took place during the meeting. King Hamad acknowledged the efforts of the Security Coordination Committee, which is a part of the Saudi-Bahraini Coordination Council, and highlighted the importance of ongoing cooperation. Prince Abdulaziz was also received by Bahrain's Crown Prince Salman bin Hamad Al Khalifa and his Bahraini counterpart General Sheikh Rashid bin Abdullah Al Khalifa on Wednesday. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
See you. The Indonesian Navy Hospital Ship KRI Dr. Wahidin Sudirohusodo 991 docked in Honiara, Solomon Islands Saturday local time. On that occasion, the Navy held a health service and opened the ship's doors to Solomon Island residents and Indonesian people in the country. Reported by Antara, after arriving in the Solomon Island, the port visit 2024 task force from the Indonesian Navy handed over medical assistance. The aid was handed over by Indonesian Defense Attaché to Papua New Guinea and Solomon Island, Colonel Infantry Peter Dwi Ardianto, and Commander of the Port Visit 2024 Task Force, Colonel Arif Prasetyo, to the Minister of Police, National Security and Correctional Service of Solomon Island, Jimson Fiau Tanangada. Minister Tanangada expressed his gratitude to Indonesia and hoped that this assistance could benefit the community. Meanwhile, the health service activities carried out on the ship are blood donation and health checks. Head of the Navy Information Service, First Admiral of the Indonesian Navy Imade Wirahadi Arsanta Wardana on Sunday said, this activity involved 17 health workers from the Navy and 6 health workers from the Solomon Islands Red Cross. Imade revealed, as many as 50 Solomon Islands residents and 20 Navy soldiers donated their blood, which will be distributed to the Solomon Islands Red Cross. He hopes that this blood donation can be useful for Solomon Islands residents. The Navy also invited local residents and the Indonesian community in the Solomon Islands to see and tour KRI Dr. Wahidin Sudirohusodo 991. Imade said, the enthusiasm of the Solomon Islands resident was seen when they captured moments on the hospital ship and took pictures with the crew and enjoyed the entertainment provided. The Prime Minister of Solomon Island, Jeremiah Manile, also visited KRI Dr. Wahidin Sudirohusodo 991. During his visit, he expressed his admiration for the splendor and sophistication of the ship. Prime Minister Manile hopes that the good relations between the two countries will continue to be maintained and increased. Imade also stated that the purpose of this visit to the South Pacific country is to establish good defense diplomacy relations so as to realize peace mission with South Pacific countries. In addition to the Solomon Islands, the countries to be visited included Fiji, Vanuatu, and Papua New Guinea.
Listener, we begin today in history with the event of assassination of Indian Prime Minister Indira Gandhi. On October 31, 1984, Indian Prime Minister Indira Gandhi was assassinated at her residence in New Delhi by her Sikh bodyguards. The assassination was an act of revenge for a military operation ordered by Gandhi at the Golden Temple, a Sikh temple that had become a base for separatist movements in Amritsar, and Sikh are people who follow Sikhism, which is a combination of Hinduism and Islam. The tragic event sparked 4 days riots, resulting in the death of over 10,000 Indian Sikhs. Let's turn to another event, the crash of Egypt Air Flight 990 in the Atlantic Ocean. Egypt Air Flight 990 crashed into the Atlantic Ocean about 60 miles south of Nantucket, Massachusetts, USA, on October 31, 1999. The crash killed all 217 passengers on board. The Boeing 767-366ER aircraft had departed from Los Angeles, stopped in New York City, and was on its way to Cairo, Egypt. The plane was in good condition with no reported mechanical issues. However, the investigation of the crash was complex and controversial. The U.S. National Transportation Safety Board concluded that the intentional actions by the co-pilot likely caused the crash, and however, the Egyptian government rejected this conclusion, insisting that a mechanical failure was to blame. The actual cause of the Egypt Air Flight 990 crash remains unresolved, and the National Transportation Safety Board conclusions stands as the official cause, leaving many to believe that the whole truth is still unknown. We conclude today in history with World Cities Day. The United Nations General Assembly established October 31st as World Cities Day in 2013 through Resolution 68239. World Cities Day was first celebrated in 2014. The commemoration of World Cities Day aims to raise awareness about global urbanization, encourage international cooperation in overcoming urbanization challenges, and contribute to sustainable urban development around the world. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Fright, there's a light on every night. Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, My Indonesia Today focuses on Indonesia gets ready for COP29. Indonesia is getting ready to attend the 29th Conference of the Parties or COP29 in Baku, Azerbaijan in November 2024. After attending a meeting on preparation in Jakarta on Tuesday, the Environment Minister Hanif Faisal Nurofik said Indonesia will showcase the greenhouse gas emission reduction in the event that will kick off on 11th November 2024. Besides, Indonesia will also encourage emission reduction in all sectors. Minister Hanif also said Indonesia has been giving achievement in the greenhouse gas emission reduction to the Secretariat of the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change and will be reaffirmed in the speech in COP29. At the same time, he ensured that Indonesia will still fight for climate change funding in COP29, mainly after COP28 in the United Arab Emirates 2023 approved the $83 billion funding. Indonesia will also discuss issues related to carbon trade explored in bilateral diplomacy with some nations. Minister Hanif Faisal added that Indonesia will explain all achievements according to the target written in Indonesia's nationally determined contribution. Based on the enhanced NDC document, Indonesia's emission reduction by 2030 target is 31.89% by own hands and up to 43.2% with international support. The Indonesian delegation in COP29 will be led by Hashim Joyohadikusumo. Besides, Hashim is also appointed as President Prabowo Subianto's Special Envoy for Energy and Environment. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia Today, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Try to beg to
Voice of Indonesia.
Gresik Regency in East Java has a variety of interesting tourist destinations, from historical sites to natural beauty and local cuisine. One popular natural attraction is Ngipik Lake or Telaga Ngipik, a water reservoir turned family recreational area. Located at Ngipik Village, Gresik District, Gresik Regency, it is about 2.9 kilometers from Surabaya, taking approximately 10 minutes to reach. Entry to Telaga Ngipik is free. You only need to pay for parking. Lake Ngipik spans 20 hectares and belongs to an Indonesian state-owned cement producer, Semen Gresik. It was formerly a clay mining site, and the rapid exploitation of sand and stones resulted in a large depression that eventually filled with rainwater and formed the lake. Semen Gresik then planted trees around the reservoir to help reduce air pollution in the industrial area. Now the surrounding trees have flourished, creating the city's lungs. At Lake Ngipik, you can go on a picnic, enjoy water skiing, go fishing, or take a motorboat ride around this man-made reservoir. In addition to the beautiful scenery, you can sip a cup of coffee at the nearby cafe while relaxing and waiting for the sunset. Lake Ngipik also features entertainment facilities with a stage on a scheduled basis. There are also parking, shopping areas, and restrooms.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Well, listeners, welcome back to today's editions of Miscellany. Today, we are going to talk about Raja Ampat as one of the world's best destinations to visit in 2025, National Geographic version. Listeners, on 24th of October, National Geographic released a list of best of the world 2025 destinations that should be visited in 2025. One of the 25 best destinations in the world is in Indonesia, Raja Ampat, West Papua. These 25 best of the world destinations offer perfect starting point for travel inspirations, intended for a wide range of interests from foodies to adventure seekers and family travels. The list is based on the insight and expertise of National Geographic's travel experts and editors, including both up-and-coming and long-established destinations. Nathan Lamb, editor-in-chief of National Geographic, mentioned that this year's selection is focused on traveling that brings excitement and curiosity. The article Best of the World 2025, written by Karen Carmichael, it is mentioned that Raja Ampat is a marine wonderland with around 500 types of coral, more than 1,000 species of free fish, as well as marine creatures such as manta ray and dugongs. In fact, the once endangered zebra shark is now making a comeback due to conservation's effort. National Geographic team even traveled to Raja Ampat on the 20-day Exploring Indonesia by Sea cruise. Carmichael wrote that the things to do while in Raja Ampat is to dive into the ecosystem that the sea thrives on. Raja Ampat is a stunning underwater paradise consisting of four main islands, namely Waigeo, Batanta, Salawat, and Misool, as well as thousands of smaller islands scattered around. In addition to its marine beauty, Raja Ampat is also famous for its exotic Cendrawasih bird. Many interesting tourist activities can be done in Raja Ampat, including snorkeling, diving, seeing pearl cultivations, and islands hopping, which is a traveling activity carried out by visiting several islands separated by water. In addition to Raja Ampat, National Geographic recommends 24 other destinations, from rock climbing in India to culinary tours in West Africa and pristine national forest in Florida. That was Miscellany for today. Bye-bye.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, Voice of Indonesia listener. Welcome back to Music Corner. In today's edition, I'm going to play a song called Prahara Cinta. Originally popularized by sibling duo Lydia and Imaniar in 1987, Prahara Cinta gained even more recognition when it was performed by Heidi Yunus. Heidi Yunus is an Indonesian singer and an actor, widely known as a vocalist for the group Kahitna and a solo artist. His version of Prahara Cinta was featured on his third solo album, Suratku, released in 1995. And the song, written by Randy Anwar and Megia Awaludin, describes the feelings of someone who is in love. So, here is a song from Heidi Yunus with Prahara Cinta.
Padamu.
Voice of Indonesia.
Di ujung cerita ini, di ujung kegelisahanmu, ku pandang tajam bola matamu. Cantik, dengarkanlah aku. Aku tak setampan Don Juan, tak ada yang lebih dari cintaku. Tapi saat ini ku tak ragu, ku sungguh memintamu. Jadilah pasangan hidupku, jadilah ibu dari anak-anakku. Membuka mata dan tertidur di sampingku. Aku tak main-main seperti lelaki yang lain. Satu yang ku tahu, ku ingin melamarmu. Aku tak setampan Don Juan, tak ada yang lebih dari cintaku. Tapi saat ini ku tak ragu, ku sungguh memintamu. Jadilah pasangan hidupku, jadilah ibu dari anak-anakku. Membuka mata dan tertidur di sampingku. Aku tak main-main seperti lelaki yang lain. Satu yang ku tahu, ku ingin melamarmu. Jadilah ibu dari anak-anakku. Membuka mata dan tertidur di sampingku. Aku tak main-main seperti lelaki yang lain. Satu yang ku tahu, oh, 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 oh. Satu yang ku mau, ku ingin melamarmu.
Voice of Indonesia.
Ke
jalan. Suratku itu lukisan luka di hati. Jangan kau hempas, meski tak ingin kau sentuh. Ku tahu pasti hatimu tahu, walau tak baca suratku.
Voice of Indonesia.